bless you. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Can y'all hear me okay? Amen. You know, the song was playing, If Not for Grace, and the words of that song are just so amazing, where he said, a hopeless case, you know, and I was that. I was a crackhead, you know, a crackhead of crackheads, a liar of liars, a thief of thieves, and sometimes I'm not one to want to force you to praise the Lord, but let me tell you something. According to the balances of heaven, we all were hopeless, amen, because the Bible says that all men were declared guilty against a holy God. And right now, let's just, for just 2 seconds, let's just stand to your feet and just give God some praise. His anointing is here, amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that if it wasn't for grace, Lord, we would all be miserable, Lord. And Father, while we're standing in your presence, I just want to pray right now. Father, just have your way in this service today. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have no strength in ourselves, Lord. And Father, if we just come before you with words, Father, it does nothing. But Father, if you touch the words, Lord, and I believe you've already touched the heart as the message is going to show. Father, you've got a Samaritan in this audience, Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to touch hearts today. Father, you're going to touch lives today. And we need your touch right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Amen. Thank you, Lord. When Pastor asked me to come up here, I was always just a privilege to be before you guys. I just want you to know that. And with my work schedule the way it's been, I thank God I've got a little deliverance in that area. I'm able to get more Sundays off. Praise God, you know. Amen. I look for this, y'all. I look for this. Sometimes we take it for granted being here on Sunday, having Sundays off. And let me tell you, when you don't have it and you need it, I need this like an addict needs a drink. Amen. You know, like you may need another shot. I've got to have it. Amen. And if we take it for granted sometimes, we lose really the preciousness of this. We have something that's rare. Amen. The message of the cross. And it's very rare out there. You won't find too many places that hold it high like our church does. And I just want to thank you guys for being connected with me. Amen. We're going to go out of the word in St. John, the 4th chapter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was starting to prepare for this message, and I asked the Lord, what direction would you have me to go? And I can tell you this. I've heard from the Lord. Amen. I've heard from the Lord. And if you open your spiritual ears, I'm sure there's something in here that'll help take you another day, another week, another month. Amen. And we're going to start at verse 1 in chapter 4. And it says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must need go through Samaria. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. The road from Judea, from Jerusalem to Galilee, amen, was a road that was commonly taken, but to go into Samaria, amen, was very kind of like not the thing to do, amen. And the reason why was that the Samaritans were a kind of like a half-breed physically and spiritually. So in these days, your culture was like of major importance. And we're going to see this the same thing today. Amen. Our spiritual culture. Amen. But they had outcast these people, and to a degree, rightfully so. They began to adopt Baal worship. Amen. They began to pervert the sacrificial system, which how many of you know the sacrificial system is all we have, amen? The typology that God gave them in the Old Testament was to be held to. And anytime somebody would take it and deviate and go left or go right, we don't stroke that. And it's the same thing today. So the Samaritans kind of were looked down upon. It was like, man, they don't even got the right doctrine, you know? So when Jesus said, I need to go through Samaria, amen. I need to go through Samaria. We're going to find out why. I'm going to propose to you today, if you're a hungry soul, amen, if you're looking for truth, And what we're going to develop out of this today is that if you don't care what your doctrine says, if you're not holding what the church affiliation you have says, if you're not holding to different things that have been passed on from grandmother to mother and father, but you're looking to be right with God, amen, it'll cause Jesus to come to you, amen. Jesus will leave his destiny. He will go, hallelujah, to Samaria, amen. Hallelujah. And he said, I need to go through Samaria. We're going to go to verse 5. And it said, then comes he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, which was basically about noon. Point I wanted to bring out here, when Jesus gets to Samaria, amen, he's taking a kind of like a chill pill, amen, so we could conclude he's probably tired. He's tired and he's thirsty. And the title of my message was, The Master is Thirsty, amen. The Master is thirsty. And we're going to see that what is it that makes God hunger, amen? What is it that makes God thirsty? What is it that makes him say, wait, I got to stop here? Let's go on to verse number 7. We're at St. John chapter 4, verse 7. It said, there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Let me share something with you. There was a well that they used, amen? And the Lord showed me actually yesterday morning that well is a type of the human heart, amen? It's also a type of the spirit realm. We give you the analogy. How many of you pray, you know, Lord, let me have a great day at work today, amen? We just trust that when we go through that day, good things are going to happen, amen? We're not going to get ticked off and, you know, crush the boss's neck and smack your coworker, amen? So it is, when they put that bucket in that well, they trust this water's going to come up, amen? It's a type of where you put in your faith in, amen? So Jesus asked her, would you give me a drink? Hallelujah. I'm trying to tell you something, church. What quenches Jesus' thirst is when you surrender your life to the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. The thirst that he had wasn't a physical thirst. Amen. It just simply brought him over. But he's asking that lady, would you please give me something to drink? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go to verse number 8. For the disciples were gone away from the city to buy meat. And said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And back again what I said earlier, the Samaritans were not to really be dealt with. It's almost like if we're doing a journey in California, probably not going to go through South Central or Watts if I don't have to, amen? I'm going to try to go around it, glory to God. So in this case, why even deal with that element? And she's saying, what would bring you in front of me? What would bring you? And you know, it's the same question. If you're hungering and thirsting after truth, you're not looking for to be right so much. You just want to be right with God. Amen. I know when the message of the cross came into my life, I had built my life up on so many things. Even as a Christian, I was a believer, following everything coming down the Christian pipeline, whether it be word of faith doctrine, whether it be, you know, kingdom now theology. I looked to it. But my hunger and thirst was for truth. And you know, one day I was that Samaritan, glory to God, because the Samaritans also considered themselves Jews. And how many of you know there's an element out here in Springfield, Ohio, amen, that are calling themselves believers? And you know, to a degree, there is an element that is a believer. They may be justified. But you know, if you're holding on to Babylonian ways of worship, if you're holding on to psychology, if you're holding on to every other thing coming down the pipeline to get your sanctification, you're a Samaritan, amen? You're a Samaritan. And this Samaritan preaching to you today had one day in his life that I was trusting everything everything coming down the pipeline. And one day he met me at the well. Hallelujah. He met me at the well and he said, look, he said, why don't you give me something to drink? Amen. And I yielded. Hallelujah. And the process just started. And what did he do? He came in. And let me tell you, that's the only way to quench the thirst of God. The Bible says, for God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, it would have been awesome if he just said he loved the world. That would have been like, praise the Lord. But he so loves the world. He loves you today. Amen. If you're listening by a CD today and your life is a wreck, amen, you may know that there's got to be something else. I've been calling myself a Christian, and maybe I am a believer with limited understanding. Let me tell you something. You're the same as this Samaritan woman. You're the same as this Samaritan woman who, because you're going to find out, the Samaritans also had their type of a sacrifice just like they did in Jerusalem. And there was a war between them. How many of you know there's a host lot of people out there whose doctrinally are not right on the one? But there's also inside of that group, there's somebody willing to hear the truth. They're going to come out. Amen? They're going to come out. And sometimes we try to go to them. I'm preaching to the cross lovers here. Sometimes we try to go to them and they're not ready. Amen? They're not ready because this woman's heart made Jesus. He's walking this way and said, I got to go to Samaria. Amen. He will turn his way. Amen. If you're hungry. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and when and who it was, who it is who says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. You know, my wife actually gave me a nugget on this. Part of the Babylonian worship was water gods, amen? They actually had water gods, they had infertility gods, all kind of crazy stuff. So when he told her, I'm the living water, amen? That registered and probably did, bells went off in her soul. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you that today. You may be holding on to 12 steps. Let me tell you something. He's the one step. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be holding on to psychology. Let me tell you something. He is the psychology. Hallelujah. He is it. Hallelujah. There's no other need to follow Maslow, Freud, and Rogers and all those goofy guys. Hallelujah. Because at the core of what they teach eliminates God out in the equation. Everybody's trying to figure out why is man in the condition that he's in. You know, that's a noble thought. So, no, I take my hat off to people that want to help society, because most people don't even care. Amen. So when you want to help society, first of all, I think, you know, you've got the right motivation. But how many know you could be motivated right and be extremely wrong? Hallelujah. And when you begin to define man's condition outside of who he is in Christ and outside of there even being a God, you have now set a false system. Amen. It's no different than holding on to Babylonian worship. It's no different. It's the same thing. And what happened to this woman, you're going to find, she needed deliverance. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. It says in verse 11, the woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. For where do you get your living water? Glory to God. You know, let me tell you, there's nothing you can give God out of your well. He's not trying to get something from you but to yield to him. That's all he wants. When he's asking her for water, he's asking for you to yield and trust what I did. He's crying, saying, trust what I did on what I'm about to do. Hallelujah. He's asking you to hold on to the cross and nothing else. And that's what he's asking for. But if you take it as, what do I got to do? You can't give him nothing. And most of the modern day church is trying to turn you straight into law. What can you do? Meet these steps, amen. Attend men's groups. I've been dying to start a men's group, even in Columbus, Ohio. But I guarantee you the message of the cross is going to be the capitalization of it. Hallelujah. So if nothing's wrong with the group, nothing's wrong with the church service. But if the core of your church service, if the message is saying be here and something magical is going to happen, brother, you've missed the mark. Amen. Sister, you're going to wind up shipwrecked. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 12, Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank therein himself and his children and his cattle? I want to stop right there. You know what happens a lot of times through the years, just like the Samaritan woman? You know, that was institutionalized religion. It's passed down from generation to generation. This woman, probably, you know, you can't be too judgmental because she's seen this from generation to generation. Why wouldn't she do the same thing? But you know, we're the same way in the church. We hold on to the outward symbol of the steeple on the church. I like the band over here. But are you getting truth? Amen. When we look at this well that she's saying, well, are you greater than this? You're missing the whole point. He's greater than the steeple on your church. Amen. He's greater than the elder board. Hallelujah. Jesus is greater than whatever you think is holding you down at whatever system you're into. He's the greatest. Hallelujah. And Jesus is saying, don't focus on that. Focus on me. Hallelujah. I want to be somewhere where they're saying, point you to Jesus Christ. I want to be somewhere where they're going to take me, because I still can go left to center. My wife would tell you probably happened today. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. I know if I can get to the house of God, there's a Pastor Greg. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a brother back there that's going to say, Mahari, it's in the cross. Hallelujah. And that's what we need in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall never thirst again. Wow, that's awesome. When you've been looking to water gods, amen. And he said, you're not going to get satisfaction in that. When you've been looking to self-help books, going through the grocery store, I wonder if that'll fix my marriage. I wonder if that'll put my relationship together. It's not going to work. At best, it can numb the situation. At best, it can have you put a muzzle over a condition. I used to go around telling everybody I was an addict. Till one day I said, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. They said, brother, you'll get it one day. But you know what? I'm changed. I'm delivered. Hallelujah. But I don't knock my brothers and sisters that are on that journey. Because if they're looking for truth, if I find somebody that really wants to hear the truth, Jesus is going to meet him at the well, amen. And he's going to tell him, you can come away from this, amen, and just look to me. Hallelujah. I'm the living water, amen. I'm the one step, amen. Actually, I normally say there's three steps. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, amen. And he'll give it all to you. Glory to God. Verse 14, but whosoever drinks of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And the Lord told me to focus on that word never. Those of us that hold to the cross, we get thirsty again sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we build back up a hunger, and if we're not careful, we'll go right back to other systems. And that's where what he's talking about, I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to bring out, is our sanctification. It stays right there. He's the living water to get you in the kingdom, and he's the living water to keep you in the kingdom. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You hearing what I'm saying? You never have to thirst again. He's given us a perpetual fountain, you guys. You don't have to thirst. You don't have to thirst. Amen. And it's no different if we change systems. It's no different than the lady at the well. Amen. Who maybe started with the sacrifice, but then adopted some other things. Glory. Hallelujah. Verse 15. The woman said unto him, sir, give me the water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call your husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband, and is that said you truly? You know, I've heard different versions of what this is talking about, and I think it's kind of vague for a reason. Amen. First of all, when the word of knowledge comes forth, or the word of wisdom, I've been in circles, man, where it's almost like a sideshow. you know, brother, you got 10 dimes in your pocket. Praise God, I do. Wow. Jesus isn't doing a sideshow here. Jesus isn't trying to tell her something to, whoa, spooky fire. Jesus is telling her the root of her problem, amen? And what the root of the problem, see, they had five gods that they worshiped. And I kind of like what Brother Swagger said. He said there was five gods. And when he said those five husbands, amen, if you're in a false system, if you're drawn from a well that's putting your faith in something other than the living water, you're going to have the end result, which was sin. Amen. And so much in the sin was that she was living in with a man. Amen. But you know, what did he major on? He majored on the root of the problem. How many of you know at churches today, and most even Pentecostal circles, we major on the act of sin. And you know, we do raise up a standard. Sin is sin. And you know what? It was just as much sin for a Samaritan as it was a devout Jew to do what she was doing. But you know what? Jesus said, if you get rid of the five husbands, if you get rid of that stinking belief system, the other thing's going to fix itself. Amen? It's going to fix itself. And that's what Paul tells us in Romans. Paul says the same thing. He says that if we believe right, we're going to act right. He said that we'll walk in newness of life. It's a new life-giving source. And we start sometimes at the cross, but then it shifts away from the cross. Amen? It's the same message. How many know it's a blessing to know that it's the same message from Genesis to Revelation? Amen? I could turn in Genesis and see a lamb sacrificed. Amen? He said it's got to be through this blood. We look to Jesus here with the woman at the well, and he's saying you never have to thirst again. Look to the living water. Amen? We look to Paul in Romans. He's saying the same thing. We look at all the epistles. It's the same message. And if you're holding any other message, it's not going to hold you. Amen. It's not going to hold you. You'll have joy for a season. Amen. It'll muzzle the situation. It'll muzzle the pain. But eventually the pain comes. I'm telling you what I know. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm not telling you just what I simply read. I was that Samaritan. Amen. And I tell you also, I was a Samaritan that got fixed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go down to verse 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour has come when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Amen. There was a mountain that they held to called Gerizim. I probably pronounced it wrong. Amen. And the Samaritans had a lookalike worship from what was going on in Jerusalem. Amen. It was almost like what we have today called draft dodgers. You know, people don't want to hold to the laws and the systems that we have. They go run somewhere else. Amen. And they had some of that going on. So these dodgers of the law, because they wouldn't keep the Sabbaths or different things that the law made them do in that day, they would go run. And 9 times out of 10, Babylonian worship would kick in, and they would adopt that culture. Well, they still want to hold to Judaism. So they had their own false temple. They had their own form of worship. Amen? And it was actually notified by that mountain. It was 50 miles. You could actually point to it. And Jesus was representing Jerusalem. How many know the new Jerusalem is going to come down on this earth? Amen. Jerusalem is of significance. Amen. But I like what Jesus said to her. Amen. He said, look here. The day is coming where I'm going to eradicate all of it. Amen. Amen. And you're wrong. Yeah, what you're doing is off. Yes, what they're doing is right, but it's all for a season, because Jesus is going to unify this thing. And let me tell you, he already did. It all comes through Jesus. There's no other way. Amen. There's no other system. I don't care if it's that mountain. The mountain we look to is Calvary. Hallelujah. Because at Calvary is where we get delivered. Amen. Calvary is where you stay free. Amen. Calvary is where he'll set you free. He'll make a whore holy. Amen. He'll make a bastard a man of God. Hallelujah. He'll make a sad case, people that they gave up on. He'll make you be a leader. Hallelujah. Because it's all at Mount Calvary. Hallelujah. But what happens when we got this in our institutionalized religion, amen, it makes it hard. I perceive you're a prophet. And you know what she meant when she said a prophet? This is proof positive that she was hungry. The word prophet was actually referring to the Messiah. Let me tell you something. They were looking for a Messiah too. Amen. That's why we can't be so judgmental to people that have the wrong doctrine. They're looking, some are looking for a way out. Amen. Some are looking. I believe she may have been with the clique of people, because you're going to see she goes back and tells people something. I believe there was a group of them. Amen. Maybe they met, maybe they met off to the side somewhere. I mean, I'm just making this up, but you know, it really makes me think that it went that way. And maybe they said, there's a Messiah that's going to set us free one day. Maybe she was with some of the other people said about her. Maybe she had five husbands. Amen. Because maybe she was infertile. Maybe this woman was infertile and she looked to a fertility god. And maybe she could go into the well and she thought that the water god would solve it. Maybe she was empty on the inside. How many of you have ever been there or there today? Amen. How many of you went through day to day thinking that there's got to be something better to this life than this? Amen. And maybe you do flip around channels or something thinking maybe there's some help here. Or maybe you go visiting, popping in different places like maybe the Messiah is going to show up here. Well, I'm here to tell you, because of her hungriness of her heart, because she wasn't worried about holding on to the mountain. Amen. Jesus was willing to come to her. Amen. The truth was able to set her free, and she was able to see that the only mountain was Mount Calvary. Hallelujah. Give God a hand, y'all. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to go to verse 22. You worship, you know not what. We know not what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Jesus changed the game, church. He changed the whole game. Amen. You know, and it really doesn't matter what you was into. Amen. How many know it? All things equalize at the cross. Hallelujah. It don't matter. Same message for the Samaritan woman will be for the demoniac. Amen. And it's the same for us. It's the same message for Upper Arlington. It's the same message for the hood. It's the same message for the alcoholic. It's the same message for the religious person. It's Jesus Christ only. Amen. It's what he did on the cross, and he will set you free. Hallelujah. And this is what he's telling her. He's saying that the true worshipers, because of what I'm about to do, how many know we're in it? Amen. We're in that day. He said, what I'm about to do, he said that the true worshipers are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And you know what the Lord pointed me to on that? Was simply the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death. You say, Brother Mahari, what are you talking about? Well, there's a power source on this earth that's greater than you, amen. And if you're not tapped into it, it's going to be very hard to get any long-lasting success. He's called the Holy Spirit, amen. And he's been made to be spooky. He's been made to be something that we can't have. He's been made to be, if you go through a religious ritual, you can have him. But I'm here to tell you, the law of the Spirit says if I keep my faith, amen, placed in the exclusive object of Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, I unlock a corresponding action called grace, which is none other than the Holy Ghost, amen. And he will walk with me, amen. He will talk with me. He will keep me, amen. He will make it where I never have to thirst again, amen. And that's what he's saying. The true worshipers are going to worship him in spirit and in truth, because the veil of the temple was going to break. Amen. There was going to be a sign even to show the whole earth went black. Hallelujah. He let them know that this, what happened, was the marking point on this whole universe. Amen. Time changed because of Jesus Christ. Amen. And people have tried to minimize it. Let me tell you something. You can't minimize the work of what he did. Amen. If he's ever touched your life, I know I've got a witness out there. You know you can't minimize him in your life. Amen. Because if you went from death unto life, hallelujah, don't tell me that it ain't nothing. Don't you tell. You come to me too late. You come to me too late to try to convince me that there's help anywhere else. I may fail, but the cross doesn't fail. Amen. The cross will hold you. Amen. The cross is a boat that don't sink. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will keep you, my brother and sister. He will keep me. If you're listening by a CD today, I want you to know, amen, he will help you too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah has come. He is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us of things. Jesus said unto her, I who speak unto you am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What do you seek? Or why do you talk with her? Amen. The woman then left the water pots and went her way into the city and said unto the men, Come, see a man which told me of all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Amen. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Hallelujah. What I want to talk about first, and this is the last passage too. She got a quick revelation. Amen. If you notice, he said, I'm him. I am he. And I just want to hammer in on that. If you're hungry for truth, you know, I went through so many years where I think I wasn't so hungry. Amen. I was holding on to what I thought was going to merit me my deliverance. Amen. And I remember a period of time, even when my brother and pastor, and my brother in particular, was hitting me with the cross. And a lot of it went over my head because you have to get to the point to where it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong. And I think because this woman, it was okay to be wrong, he was able to tell her clearly, I am the one. And you know, that light bulb goes off for us the same way. It's in proportion to how hungry you are. If you're not hungry, it's a waste of time. It's just blah, blah, blah. But if you're hungry for truth, Jesus will meet you. Amen. He will meet you and he will tell you, this is it. This is it. Fireworks will go off. And there was a point in my life where, you know what, I ain't getting nowhere. Amen. This stuff don't work. I'm still broke down. Amen. I'm still hurting. And you know what? It started to make sense. And I seen that he is the one. Amen. And she began to tell people. That's why I really believe there was a group of people that was looking for the Messiah. And church, you understand this, there are people that are in false doctrine that are waiting for the Messiah. She came back with, I found him. Amen. That means they was looking for him. Somebody's looking for truth out there. There's a Samaritan, amen, that's got a mixture in their walk. Their doctrine ain't quite right, but they're looking for truth, amen. And if you're that Samaritan today, the truth was found at the cross, amen. It's Jesus Christ. It's not works, amen. You can't attend church enough, amen. You can't pray hard enough, hallelujah. And of course I want you to attend church, and of course I want you to pray. But you can step up your game. You can turn on the excitement with it. Let me tell you, if you're drawing from the wrong well, you're not going to quench God's thirst, and your thirst ain't quenched neither. Amen. But she began to tell people. And you know what? This was the first woman preacher. Hallelujah. Preaching to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And if people say that women can't preach, you're a liar. Hallelujah. Because she told people, and they came back to it. Glory to God. So I just want to encourage you today. If you're a Samaritan today, and I think really and truthfully, we all have an element of Samaritan in us all. Amen. Because we all are shedding law off of us. And that's another part of this message that we teach and we preach. You ain't just got it because one light bulb went off. It's perpetual. Amen. It goes from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And we can all learn something from this woman. Amen. We can all learn that if we're trust anything, and sometimes they glitter so well because our thirst starts to quench, get stirred up again. And we get hungry. And we want to go back to that old well and trust in maybe some other form of sacrifice. But Jesus is telling us, no, stick with me. I may not have the glitter. I may not have the light bulbs going off. I may not have a laser show. Amen. But I am the way. I'm the only thing you can turn to. Anything else won't work. You're going to wind up like this woman in a group trying to figure what's the answer. Hallelujah. If you stand to your feet, I want to pray. Hallelujah. And Michelle, if you could play something. I just thank the Lord for truth. Amen. How many of you know truth is good in a time frame when there's so much lies? Amen. In a time frame when you get so much spin. You know, and I even believe in the political realm is mimicking what's in the spiritual realm. That's why there's so much spin on everything. That's why there's so much deception on everything we find. From government, and it started in the church. Because judgment starts in the house of the Lord, because that's where the problem started. Amen? But it's good, and it's something to cherish when you can get truth and simplicity. Amen? Because what I told you today will hold you, church. It'll hold you. It will hold you. It will hold you. Amen? And just with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, amen, and just looking to Jesus, amen, the living water, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you right now. Father, we magnify you in this house, and I thank you for your presence that was here all day. Lord, it was amazing at what we walked into. And Father, you only do that not just for the goosebumps, but thank you for it. But Father, you do that because you want to touch a heart, Lord. Somebody might be willing to admit maybe I was wrong. You're going to a club that everybody admits they're wrong. Amen. You don't stand out. It's kind of a prerequisite. You know, one thing I do give recovery circles credit for, they say keep it simple, stupid. And Father, we thank you that we can admit our infallibility, Father. It's okay to be weak. It's okay to not know. It's okay to have trusted in something that didn't deliver me the full deliverance. But if you're under the sound of my voice or if you're listening by a CD, I want you to just simply, I'm not going to embarrass you. You're not even going to come down. But just as unto the Lord, wave your hand and say, Lord, that's me. Thank you, Jesus. I see the hands. If that's you, say, Lord, that's me. Just with a simple wave of your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is moving in this service right now, church. Just begin to pray. If you pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because God is doing the work. He'll stop you on your road. Amen. And he wants to not just stop you and mesmerize you for a moment. He wants to abide with you. Hallelujah. And everybody under the sound of my voice, say this with me. Say this after me. Say, Father, I come sincerely like the Samaritan woman. I can't fix myself. The systems I've tried did not deliver me. The systems I've looked to probably won't either. But I mix faith with the word that I'm here now. I trust you. I look to Calvary. I look to what you're doing and what you did. I place my faith exclusively in it. Now come into my heart. Now fix things that were off. This is a type of rededication. Hallelujah. Just begin to say thank you. Amen. Y'all need a church, help somebody else with birth pain. These, you know, when you're birthing something, they have midwives that stand by them. Amen. Y'all, we're like a midwife to these people that need him. Hallelujah. Just begin to just thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That turkey in the oven can wait. Hallelujah. Just thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank God he didn't have to do it. Amen. He didn't have to do it. But he so loved the world. Amen. Somebody needs love today. Somebody needs love in this house. Hallelujah. Somebody needs Jesus to wrap their arms around him. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you're listening by a CD, I want to tell you too, if you said that prayer, he's wrapping his arms around you. Amen. Jesus is holding some people right now. Hallelujah. And we just want to thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep staying in the attitude of prayer, and I'm going to pass this over to Pastor. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Oh, Lord, we still feel the moving and operation of the Holy Spirit so powerfully today. And, Lord, I thank you that at this moment, I know in my spirit there have been people delivered, there have been people enlightened, there have been Samaritans, Lord, that have forsaken the Samaritan way totally today, and they have come to the way of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, we thank you for this new beginning. Let the Holy Spirit shower down on all those today who made their decision. I'm going to the Messiah. I'm going to the one who can satisfy my thirst. I'm forsaking that which has left me thirsty and dry. And I'm coming to the living water, and I'm not going to depart from it ever again. Praise God, praise God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this message that came from the throne of Almighty God today. And Lord, we thank you for the mighty work that's been done in hearts and lives today. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for what you're able to do. Lord, you can change a heart, you can change a life, as Michelle alluded to, in seconds. It doesn't take you long, Lord. You're all powerful. And we give you, Lord Jesus, all the praise and the glory for what's been done in our hearts and lives today. Our souls have been fed at a bountiful feast table of the Word of God today. And we praise you and thank you for that, for we needed it. For we come hungry and we come thirsty every time we come into this building. But praise God, the words you said to this Samaritan woman: he who drinks of this water shall never thirst again. Praise God. Give him a hand of praise, church. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Wow. Praise the Lord. Don't you appreciate Brother Mahari hearing from God? Give the Lord a hand of praise for that. Hallelujah. Mahari, you fed our souls this morning, brother. You did mine. I sat there and ate it up every bit. It was a beautiful spiritual dinner that the Lord prepared for us today. Praise God. Well, thank you for being in God's house today. I know you've been blessed and uplifted by this wonderful message. Come and be with us if you can on Wednesday evening. We're going to begin our study in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And that's going to center, the theme of those books centers predominantly on the rapture of the church, which is so very, very close to occurring. We may happen before we get out of this service today, praise God, but we're that close to it. Come and learn. Come and learn. You need to know. It will encourage you and strengthen you as you realize how close we are to the appearance in the sky of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those of us who believe being translated to meet him in the air and the dead in Christ rising, it's glorious. So come be with us if you can. Again, Brother Mahari, thank you for hearing from God and for ministering to our souls and spirits today. Praise the Lord. Ned, I'm going to ask you if you would. Would you come dismiss us in prayer this morning?